2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify it about our Lord, or ashamed for me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, recently in the fellowship group and here in church and on the newsletter, we talked a bit about wills, funerals, and other documents as we are approaching our time of death. Well, this is not really macabre, but a realization of our limits. And it's also something, you know, we want to tidy things up and make sure that those coming after us are all right. Well, over the next month, we'll look at Paul's second letter to Timothy during our morning services, and it's like Paul's will and testament, both to Timothy and to the church as a whole. He wants to tidy up and hear and make sure that those coming after him are all right. It was a letter that was written at the end of Paul's life in the expectation of his imminent death. And so it was his last advice both to his friend and Timothy and his co-worker, and also to the church as a whole. But before we get into the letter, I thought I'd better discuss the subject of its authorship. And, well, because in the early 19th century, some German scholars suggested that some of the letters we know as the pastoral letters, that is Titus 1, Timothy, and 2 Timothy, were not written by Paul, but possibly other people wrote in the style of Paul, taking some of the letters of Paul and putting their own content in it, and so then that's how the pastoral epistles were composed. Now, this view grew stronger towards the end of the 19th century to include all three letters, the Titus, 1 Timothy, and 2 Timothy, and it then spread beyond Germany. It has been debated ever since and was probably most accepted in the mid to late 20th century, having recently been itself questioned. So why did they think about that might have been the case? Well, the four reasons are generally advanced. One, Paul mentions visits in these three letters that are not recorded in the book of Acts. But scholars have been able to reconcile that fairly easily, but there's this apparent discrepancy. Then the second reason that's advanced is that some of the vocabulary is different in these letters to some of the other well-known letters by Paul. The third reason is that some suggest that there is a slight different emphasis in theology between, you know, the letters like Romans and Corinthians and these three letters. But the reason most give, and that has been rated the most, is that these three pastoral letters are concerned with a church that seems far more established than in the early letters. Now, I was at university, and at the time when I studied the pastoral letters, and I also studied these arguments, and I began to doubt these a bit, because at the same time, I also studied church history, in particular the European Reformation. And there I was reading the writings of Martin Luther. And I did note that his early writings had a somewhat different terminology, a different theological emphasis, and certainly a different view of the church. So if scholars suggest that Paul did not write these letters, then they would also have to say that Martin Luther did not write his later books. But we are 100% certain that Martin Luther did write both the early and late publications. After all, a person's situation changes, their concerns may change, their writing style may change somewhat. So all these changes indicate it's a time difference rather than a different author. And for Paul, life did look somewhat different at the end of his life. He continued to affirm the great articles of faith. He followed Jesus with all of his life. He still worked with others and contended against those who led people astray. His mission had not changed, but his own situation did, as did the church across the decades. And so Paul now was in imprisonment, he was facing death, and the church, yes, it had become more established. So in a sense, the problem is not Paul. I think it's the German scholars, especially those of the 19th century. He wanted to be scientific and critical in studying the Bible, and so far more advanced than the people of old. Oh, you foolish Germans. As a German, I hope I am allowed to say that, even though that folly by no means is restricted to the Germans, I think. So if we do read 2 Timothy as Paul's last letter to Timothy, then we cannot help but notice the humanity in it. Despite the familiarity between Paul and Timothy that's clearly there in the letter, there's also more to it than that. For Paul writes to Timothy not only as a dear friend, but also as a church leader. So Paul is concerned about the future of the church, and that's why he also writes to Timothy. And so it's because of this, I think, that Paul starts off the letter by emphasizing that he is an apostle, someone sent by Jesus to proclaim the good news to the world. Right at the beginning of the letter, Paul reminds himself and Timothy that he is following Jesus as a good Jew, just as his ancestors did. For Paul, there's no break between God's dealing through Israel and God's revelation through Jesus Christ. By following Jesus, Paul has been faithful to God and stands in line together with his ancestors. Now, as he's coming to the end of his life, he can see that continuity more than ever. He can also see it in Timothy. For Paul remembers that Timothy has come from a faithful family. Particularly his grandmother and mother were faithful Jewish women that left their mark on the young Timothy, and who together with Timothy followed the Messiah Jesus. Now, I think for us now and here, together with Paul and Timothy, it's worthwhile to remember the faithfulness of our own ancestors, particularly of those who have family, those of us who have family that raised them in the faith. Maybe for you it was a grandmother who brought you to church. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe none of your immediate family. Maybe it was just the people in church who told you about Jesus. And at the same time, it's a call to tell of the hope that is within us to the next generation, to pass on the faith the best that we can. So I think we should be faithful for those who have nurtured us in the faith, but of course it's ours to live, to fan into flame. After all, as it's often said, God has no grandchildren. We ourselves have to come to God through Jesus Christ. Now, in the letter, Paul urges Timothy to fan into flame this gift of God. Now, I don't think he's referring to the gift of faith, but rather the result of that faith, which once it burns brightly can change much, brings light and life. Indeed, Timothy seems to have been given a special commission to use his faith in the service of God, most particularly as a leader in the church. So Paul urges him to use that gift and to be true to his calling, because God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And so that spirit will enable Timothy to do his ministry. Now, of course, it's not only Timothy who is called to a particular ministry. We are all called to ministry, to be it ever so small, to live out our faith through the Spirit. Paul then urges Timothy to proclaim the gospel and to continue even in suffering. Now, these are the themes that come up again in the letter, and we'll look at that in later Sundays. But here, I want to look at Paul's reason for continuing with the mission that he's been given, namely, because God saved us and called us to a holy life. So the salvation and renewal of life through Jesus Christ, that is the gospel, the good news, and it's been given to us humans because of God's grace. God loves us so much that he wants to be close to us despite our failings. It's not due to our merit, our good deeds, our insight, our holy life that bring us closer to God. It is because of God's grace. It is through grace that Jesus came to offer us life and acceptance. Paul says that by very nature, God is gracious, and Jesus Christ has been destined from the beginning of time to save us and to show us God's love. Now, our Old Testament reading should make it clear that God's love and concern are not something new in Christ, rather that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's love towards us. It has always been true that God is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Well, and I hope that you remember from Psalm 136 that God's love endures forever. It's actually, in the actual psalm, it's there stated, I don't know, 40 times, and you're supposed to say it 40 times as we did. But the full extent of God's grace and love has been revealed in Jesus, through whom that love and grace came to their fulfillment. Jesus revealed the will of the Father, called us to a holy life, and through his death and resurrection destroyed death and brought eternal life. Paul reaffirmed that the history of Israel and the world built up to Jesus, that in Jesus the purpose of God's were fully revealed. Of that, Paul is the messenger. So it's the role also of Timothy to continue that by guiding the church and proclaiming the good news. And so we ourselves, as part of the church, we are called to guard the faith, the truth, not by keeping it in, but by living it out. We can only do this with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, through whom this faith can indeed be kindled and keep us faithful. So, as you can see, Paul here reminds Timothy of the most essential aspects of being part of the church, of trusting Jesus Christ, of drawing close to God, of putting faith into practice. This is what he wants to pass on to the people he loves, for whom he has worked so hard. And so at the heart of all this is God's grace, which we are called to experience and lead other people to, so that they too can experience God's love in Jesus Christ. Amen.